This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.
Back of the Nest preview show, sponsored by Pitch Sport. Available to download on the App Store and Google Play. PitchDMM.com.
Welcome one and all to the Back of the Nest preview podcast. I'm your host Terence Ford, and this week it's not the derby, it's not the A23 derby, and it's certainly not the M23 derby. It's us against them, only this time it's in an empty stadium that will still have a bigger attendance than the Wydad Dean ever did.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yes, yes, welcome in everybody. I would say a bit like COVID, it's back, but it's not. Albert's away again. So Nick's back. You're kind of like a London bus, Nick. You've no appearances for years and then two in a couple of weeks.
I feel like a supply teacher, if I'm honest. badly paid, terrible rates. And you'll tell me to f*** again until you need me again.
We won't bully you out, we promise.
As long as you don't end up like the teacher you mentioned last time who started caning people, I think we'll be
long,
right.
Long planks of wood, Mr. Wheels, yes.
Yes, and that's obviously Heskis nasally tones in the background. How are you doing, sir?
Yeah, I'm all right. Thank you very much.
Good, good. Right, so I put my beer options onto Twitter this week to say as a poll, what should I be drinking? So
as a poll, it should be Tusky, surely.
Very nice. So my options were from a beer from Daya called Saturated in Idaho 7, a beer called Ghost 19, and a beer from City of Cake called Chocolate Fudge Cake. And just for a joke, I stuck Heineken on the end as well. And 48% of people that voted said Heineken is what I should be drinking. So obviously, I'm excluding that from the vote. And I'm going for City of Cake and drinking this Chocolate Fudge Cake Stout. So I'm very excited about this. What about you've got a water, Nick? You're still dry?
Cup of tea, but they all sound like Gus Van Sant films. Your beers,
that in a deep cut.
Really is.
next week I'll be drinking Drugstore Cowgirl.
What about you, Sam?
I'm drinking a Modelo today.
Good stuff. Right, I'm not big into stouts, so this chocolate fudge cake one, I don't know what it's going to be like. It says a deep and rich chocolate milk stout, balancing roasted coffee chocolate notes with a sweetness followed with fudge and caramel aromas. I mean, I think largely that's what we can all get behind that, right?
Can you get dessert beers like you get dessert wines? Is that what that is?
I guess so, something like that. I'm trying to see the percentage. 6.5%. Okay, let me have a taste. It's very, very dark. Oh, it's actually pretty good. Mm. Very, very flavoursome. Oh, yeah, there's the caramel. Right. Talking of things coming back late on, it's Nathaniel Klein's come back. That's tenuous. Right, we'll have a back and forth here because, Nick, you think it's a bit of a waste of a time, but Sam, not so much.
The only reason I'm saying that is because the last time I saw Nathaniel Klein, Wilf was rinsing him and he looked so crap that why would we want somebody made to fall on their ass so badly? Why would we want him here? It's sentimentality. He's no Sean Derry. But he's probably better than Andy Johnson.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's an interesting one. I think I can understand why we've done it. We had him training anyway. Ferguson's obviously not going to be back for a couple more months. So we're left with just Joel Ward. And if he gets injured, he gets injured. So what about you, Sam? Sentimentality is obviously there.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was a big fan of his back when he was with us. Obviously wanted him to do well, even when he went to Liverpool. But I did mention a couple of weeks ago on one of the shows we did when we were linked with him, I was a bit like Nick, really. You know, if you didn't put the name in there and you said we're getting a player who has 25 games in the last 3 years total, and the last time we saw him, Palace scored 5, which is mental, you wouldn't really be clamouring over hot coals and broken glass to get him. But because it's Klein, like, you know, I understand why people are happy he's back and that sort of thing. So long as, you know, you have the caveat that he probably ain't going to play very much, if at all. And it's a deal until January, until Ferguson's ready. And then I guess we'll say thanks and see you later. In that case, it's fine. I just, you know, obviously you don't, hopefully we're not spending loads and loads of money on wages, but I suppose until January, it's a bit of a drop in the ocean.
Yeah, well, hopefully we can get him some minutes and get him a deal in January or something like that, if needed. You know, come from the youth academy, he's one of us, and he's local lad. So it's just a shame more than anything that we can't be in the stadium at the moment to give him the welcome back that we'd all love to give him when his name's announced that first time. But there you go. Nick, what you got?
Yeah, do they still announce the names even though there's nobody there? I know they kind of go through the motions a bit, didn't they?
Yeah, they do. They're still, it's ridiculous. When games are on, sometimes I open my back door and just listen to the music's playing. Just like, there's no one there. Did you see the one? It was it might have been an England game. I know it was a Spurs game, and they were interviewing Harry Kane, and it's just like an announcement's made, like, absolutely, you know, deafening on the TV, and he had to stop talking until the announcement finished 10 seconds later. I was like, who are they making an announcement to? It's no one there, but there you go.
I'm pleased though that Gunnosaurus got his job back at the Arsenal because of the mascot. So Pete and Alice still sort of going around the edge of the pitch before the games.
Yeah, they are, but I mean, are they paid? I don't know. I don't even know who they are anymore because since Lee finished doing it, I'm not sure he does it anymore. But I'm not sure. I think Gunnosaurus is a bit more of a full-time jobby at Arsenal. Like, he does lots of stuff for them in the week and things like that. So I don't know. He's like grazing. I don't know.
Is he a herbivore?
Yeah, I would think so. He's got a long neck, so he's got to get up to reach the trees, right? So I'm assuming he's a herbivore.
I saw a great Twitter account called something like Mascots During Minute Silences.
Yeah, right.
And I was just laughing so much, especially the giraffe. I don't know his mascot for, but bowing his head, getting in the way of everybody.
Is it with the star up in Scotland? Is it St Mirren or someone like that?
Partick Thistle, I think.
Partick Thistle, yeah. Quality. But anyway, bringing it back to Nathaniel Klein, it's inspired a quiz question. So Roy Hodgson now has 5 players he gave England caps to. Nathaniel Klein's obviously your freebie. Mm. So between you, can you get the other 4?
Oh, God. Gary Cahill.
Andros Townsend.
Correct.
Martin got the Kelly. Easy.
Oh, very good. You've got the tough one.
One cap wonder. Is there one more?
Wilf play for England under Roy?
Yeah, Wilf, there you go. That's
When you flew over to Sweden, wasn't it? You went over to?
I did, yes. Well, he got called up on the Sunday, so I just made a mad scramble to get tickets and paid a very way through the roof for plane tickets. I think it ended up, I had to fly out of city, and I think it cost me nearly £300 to get a return just on like EasyJet or whatever. I can't remember what it was. And and then paid, I think it was £100 for a ticket for the match. But like, there was a Palace fan out there who lived in Sweden, and he could buy tickets for his hotel, weirdly, because you've got to remember it was the opening of Sweden's new national stadium. So it was basically a complete sellout and really tough to get tickets for. So anyway, he gets me the ticket for the game. And then as soon as I land, our friend Carl, who's on the pod sometimes, phones me up and he says, are you in Sweden? I'm like, yeah. He was like, you got a suit with you? I'm like, no way. He's like, I've got a spare corporate ticket if you want to come, but you need to be in a suit. And I was like, oh, I don't want to, you know, I've said to this guy, buy me the ticket. He's already forked out the money for the ticket. I'll go with him instead of going to drop another couple of £100 on a suit, just getting a corporate thing. And then after the game, he was in the same hotel as the Sweden team and was, you know, chatting to Ibrahimovic and stuff like that. So there you go. I should have just gone out and bought a suit, shouldn't I? But, yeah, all that way to watch Zaha play for about 6 minutes, I think it was, if you include injury time.
It's lucky you still don't follow him nationally, isn't it, really? Because he did no show this week, wasn't it, for Wilf?
Yeah. Well, I think he played in the first game and then missed the second game, but we'll get into that a little bit later. Ayew, let's move on to him. He's won Ghanaian Writers Footballer of the Year. Based on his performances at Palace, scored a fair few goals in the Premier League last season. That's fair cop in it, Hesketh.
Yeah, who was second? Was it Schlippi? I'm not surprised. I'm not the biggest authority on the Ghanaian national team, to be honest with you, but I'd be surprised if anyone had quite as much of an impact as he did for their team last year. So another award for him to put on the shelf, along with the 17, whatever he won from us last year.
I can assume he'd done an equally boring acceptance speech. I mean, that's harsh to say, actually. He was, having to do three acceptance speeches, one after the other, was probably a bit boring for him, but there you go. What else did we have? The guys you wanted to talk about, Banks' goal for the under-23s, Nick, lovely little finish.
It was superb. He got the ball way out on the right, almost at the halfway line, had a little dribble with it. To be fair, nobody tried to tackle him, but he banged it from 30, 40 yards out. I actually thought that he'd missed or the keeper had saved it because the ball went through the net. It was that hard. And it made me think, who's paying these officials in the under-23 games? Because surely the first thing they do is check the nets.
Yeah. It's also got those goals as well, which you can tuck the net under the frame anyway. But it felt proper Sunday League when the ball burst through. And I think the defender was a bit Sunday League as well. But hey, you can only beat what's put in front of you. Did we win? I don't even know if we won. But yeah, great, great, great goals. So he's making great strides, old Banksy. And hopefully, I don't know what you think, Hesketh. We've watched him a couple of times. Feels a bit lightweight for a Premier League start at the moment. Like, might need to get a bit more beefed up. Is that a fair assessment or a bit harsh?
He looks his age. You know, he's pretty skinny. Mm. From when I've seen him, he's played on the wing. So it's not like you need to be a big beefy centre half or anything. But he does look like if he was to play in, certainly if he was to play in Premier League, which I can see immediately, he'd get pushed off the ball very easily. So there's definitely, physical work to be done with him, but he looks very skillful. So I think of all of the younger players in the 23s anyway, he's been head and shoulders above everyone this year. So it's been a very good start for him, actually.
Right.
You say he's little, though. I mean, look at Michael Owen when he first started appearing for England. He was just a bit of a dot of a man, wasn't he? He did all right.
Yeah, but he did. But Michael Owen had pace to burn at such an electric pace off the mark as well. So it was very, very hard for people to get near him. I don't think Banks quite has that sort of level of pace. But yeah, I mean, if he keeps putting these performances in the under-23s, he's going to at least find his way onto the bench at some point, isn't he? And you know, if he buys Roy a nice bottle of wine, he might get a chance.
Dessert beer.
Yeah, dessert beer, exactly. Oh, this, I mean, this is going to be a tough ask to finish this. It's a big pint can, and yeah, it's very, very, very thick, but there you go. Right, Project Big Picture has obviously been doing the rounds. Now, if you want a more in-depth back of the nest chat and view, you can head over to YouTube, youtube.com/backofthenest, where, Nick, you can run through what happened there last night.
Yeah, yeah. It was Chris did his best COVID Santa impression. it's worth it just watching for that. DR, Patrick and Chris go for it quite well. The plus points being cash for the lower league teams, but it's just bribery. They talk about reduced entrance fee for away fans, but it's just the big six clubs trying to stitch everybody up. And the Americanization of sport in England. Yeah. And and now it's a bad thing. And you can tell it's bad because even fans of the said big six clubs have clubbed together and written a letter of complaint to whoever will listen, and that it's not becoming the people's game anymore and how it's going to just ruin football.
Yeah, well, I was laughing when it came out that Manchester United and Liverpool made a threat to break off and make a big super European league. I was just like, yeah,
go on.
Be gone with you. Like, the sooner you're gone, the better. we'll make a fist of it ourselves. Thank you very much. But I don't ask if the top eight teams that were leaked were weird, right? So you did, it had the six you'd expect.
Yeah.
But then it was Southampton and West Ham. I mean, us aside, you know, I think of the eight teams, we're one of only eight teams that have been in the Premier League the entire time we've been there, right? Yeah. So we're in the top eight, almost stretching a decade now. So that aside, Leicester bloody won the Premier League a couple of years ago and have constantly been pushing the top six for the last couple of seasons, like last few seasons. So what are Southampton doing in there?
I mean, so apparently it's the eight teams who have been in the league the longest. So us and Leicester just miss out. But then, you know, like you say, Southampton have sort of been a middle into it. It's sort of like us, haven't they? They've just sort of been middle of the table. West Ham have done bugger all other than get a free stadium. So I don't know what they deserve out of anything. And like you say, Leicester have missed out, but they won the league. So Tottenham haven't won the league. Man United are floundering near the bottom at the moment. So quite why they consider themselves to be big six, I don't know.
Mm. Arsenal haven't won the league in 16 years.
Yeah. So it's like Nick said, it's all self-serving. It's just a load of nonsense. And I think everyone agrees that more money needs to go down the pyramid to the sort of lower leagues. I don't think anyone's sort of doubting that at all. But to do so by saying, like, yeah, we've got all this backing from the lower league teams because they get more money, but only six teams will have a say. Are we bigger, so our vote means more? It's just a load of shit. And honestly, like you say, if they want to go and play in their European Super League where they play PSG four or five times a season, then just do it, because I don't care. You know, it's like Nick says, it's just ruining football. And you know, modern football's a bit shit, but doing stuff like this is just, you know, putting more nails in the coffin in it. So I'm glad that it was unanimously voted down today.
Well, that which also makes no sense. So if Liverpool and Manchester United brought this forward, how did all 20 teams vote against it? Well, they decided that their idea was a shit one. it makes zero sense.
I reckon Parrish went in with some brass knuckles and said, right, come on, who wants it? Actually, it's probably Simon Jordan. And they're like, Simon, you don't own the club anymore. He said, I don't care, let's go.
Simon Jordan in that red velvet jacket that he loves to wear.
Well, it's going back to the back of the nest YouTube thing earlier. It's worth watching, not only for COVID Santa, Mr. Robot character hybrid Chris, but Patrick saying, and they want to get rid of the charity shield, and that's really good for charity because he couldn't think of anything else good about it.
I mean, I'd take the charity shield, to be fair. If we were in the charity shield, it means we won something. So, but yeah. I mean, I assume back in the day it was a charity game. Is it still a charity game?
I have no clue. And it's a plate, not a shield. A shield, surely it's got to be a kind of like round with the kind of two round bits. I'm a teacher. I should know the name of this shape. But it's definitely a plate or a disc, but it's not a shield.
Right, so it's called the Community Shield now. So the Community Shield evolved from the Sheriff of London Charity Shield that was introduced in 1898 as a professional versus amateurs cup. Oh.
The footballer. That's what we're in it.
Yeah, exactly. So we might have been in it in the past. Is that possible? No. Right. Let's start getting into talking about the game then.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Back of the Nest, sponsored by Pitch Sport. Fantime videos, choose your matchday squad, post-match ratings and much more. Available to download on the App Store and Google Play. PitchDMM.com.
Now, obviously, the big talking point is that the potential that Wilf Zaha will be missing from the game. Now, he went to international duty with Ivory Coast in a game that they drew, I believe, the first game. They drew 1-1. Mm-hmm. And who was it against? It was against someone decent as well. Belgium, yeah.
Because Michy scored for Belgium.
That's right. Michy scored for Belgium. And then Zaha was brought down for a penalty, which was converted by Kessie, who plays AC Milan in the middle of the park. Tell you what, we wouldn't do too bad to get our hands on him. He's a decent player. But But then Zaha wasn't on the bench for their second game. Five of their team have come down with COVID. And I mean, that's a common theme spreading around international duty at the moment. Lots of players picking up the disease, illness, while they've been away with international duty. So that's obviously going to piss off a lot of clubs going into the games that follow this weekend. But apparently he doesn't have COVID. Apparently he just has a knock, and that will put him out for this weekend. But Heskey, if I mean, Brighton Palace is Zaha, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, his record of goals against them, we all know how good it is. And his start of the season, I mean, discounting the Chelsea game because obviously that was a bit of a write-off, but his start to the season has been absolutely brilliant. And, you know, I think we're all looking forward to seeing a red-hot Zaha going up against Lewis Dunk. So, yeah, I mean, if it is true, it's a big shame. And, you know, regular listeners to this pod will know how little I care for international football. And I just think, if, you know, the friendlies this early on in the season is bad enough anyway, but doing it when there's this pandemic and players who have been sort of carefully kept in bubbles or whatever with their clubs are now mixing with people from all over the place because, you know, they're coming from loads of different clubs and that. It's just ridiculous. And you know, whether he's got COVID or not, it just seems a bit silly to have these friendlies now. And we're talking about our best players out for maybe a game, maybe more. And we've only played 3 or 4 games in the season. So, it's a bit annoying.
Yeah, it certainly is. Nick, if it turns out he has got COVID and he's out for a couple of weeks, how big of a miss is it considering the form he's had so far this season?
Yeah, of course, it's a big miss, but we've played all right without him before as well. It's kind of G'd us up as him not being the man that we rely on. And we all know that we only win when Jeffrey plays anyway. Him not being available has nothing to do with Scalotto being linked with Palace, and you upset him so much with those crybaby things.
Yeah, well, I mean, could you imagine the carnage if we signed him? he wouldn't last a week, would he? He'd just be dressed down so much on the training field. But for those who don't remember, I don't know why you wouldn't remember, but of course this was the Brighton player who's been linked with Palace who was giving Wilfried Zaha abuse from the sideline in our 1-0 victory there last season. He managed, they couldn't even bring him on, right? So Wilf got one fullback booked, and then they had to bring a player on and play him out of position at fullback because they couldn't bring him on because he was on a yellow card. Hadn't even played because they were like, our fullback's going to get sent off. Wilf's just rinsing him. So, yeah, there you go.
We think COVID's bad in the football, though. I think the Giro d'Italia, the bike race, might be called off. Loads of teams dropping out of that at the moment. So it's just crazy that they're getting people from all over the world together in a pandemic. I mean, who'd have thought that things would happen then?
Dustin Johnson's obviously got it as well, the world number one golfer. Cristiano Ronaldo's picked it up as well on international duty.
He would, though, wouldn't he, really?
Yeah, so there you go. Heskiff, you're sharing information here. What's happened?
Johnny Esther's just scored a cracking goal for Wales.
Johnny Esther. Charlton, Johnny Esther, who Charlton are becoming Crystal Palace old school 11. I'm surprised Kleine hasn't gone there, to be honest. They've got Johnny Esther, they've got Ben Watson, Ryan Innes has gone there. Mm-hmm. It's nice that we can, in this time of crisis, we can help out a small club in South London.
You're talking about helping out the teams lower down the football pyramid. I think we're a fine proponent of that.
Do you think it's the rock star-ness? Do you think Parra should take up an instrument? And if so, which instrument should he take up?
Parra would play something like jazz flute, wouldn't he?
He'd play... I was going to say kazoo, but...
Or not, he'll be a singer, right? Because there's that footage of him doing Rapper's Delight in a beach club somewhere from a couple of seasons ago. So maybe he's a vocalist, who knows? Oh,
when he should have been signing people.
Yeah. was that the season we got De Boer in as well? I think it might have been. He should have been getting a manager, not rapping Rapper's Delight.
Have Holland scored since he went there? Netherlands, after our last chat about using that word. They haven't scored yet, have they, since he went there?
I think they scored tonight, or they're in action now. Yeah, so they're drawing 1-1 currently with Italy. And Donny van der Beek of Manchester United has scored the goal. So there you go. But it looks like no win incoming there. Right. Anyway, look, we've gone off on a massive tangent. Heskiff, who's replacing Wilf if he is out on the weekend?
That is a very good question. I do we know if Schluppi is fit again? See him I'm coming in.
It's I'm not sure.
I think James McCarthy's out as well, isn't he? So he got subbed off against someone for Ireland on the weekend. So I don't even know.
So he'll be a straight replace. Luca will come in for him, I imagine.
Yeah.
Luca's been getting minutes for Serbia, so he's fine. So Luca will come in for him, and that will be Luca in a two.
You know what? I think maybe if we're without, he'll just play Batshuayi, and then he'll have Andros and Eze on the wing as he did before, and then Ayew and Batshuayi up front. It's weird now to have the option to bring in like a box striker. I've got that we've got him because we've never really had that option. But I wouldn't, Ayew's not had the best start to the season, and that's, you know, no shade on him because he was brilliant last year and sort of really didn't really have a break. But I think having bats in the team would be good. We've not really seen him much so far for us, but he's scoring goals for Belgium. So I think that'd be a good
one. Yes. Yeah, they were saying he's got 11 goals in 11 starts for Belgium under Roberto Martinez since he came in. But he seems to be only playing in the games that aren't the important ones because Lukaku's always playing in the ones that are the important ones, I guess. But still, you've got, you know, international level, scoring a goal at international level is no mean feat, and being on 11 just under Roberto Martinez is pretty good going. So, I mean, we'll take the goals, right? I know we've scored this season a few times already, but, you know, we still feel a little bit light up front. So if we can get Benteke Batshuayi firing up front. But then, of course, you've mentioned there Ayew not having the best start to the season. Is his work off the ball making him too important for Benteke to come in for him, Nick?
Maybe. I don't know. It's hard, isn't it? It all depends on... It really depends on Schlupp and whether... I think Eze could play behind Benteke and use it that way if Jeff is out on the left. I'm just hoping it's a ruse to say that Wilf is injured, but he's not really.
Yeah, just like last minute, he comes in sort of like a WWE wrestler, just like kicking off to some entrance music just as the game's about to start.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at... that injury site, English Premier League injuries, it's saying that Jeff should be back, potential return on the 17th.
Oh, right, okay.
McCarthy, no date coming back. Going back to Ferguson, Nathan Ferguson, I meant to ask you earlier, what is actually wrong with him? Why have we bought such a crock?
It's the reason why we didn't buy him in the previous window was because they discovered this problem with his knee, which they knew he was going to have surgery on. And when he's had the surgery, what is normally a straightforward surgery, it hasn't been so because he's got some kind of a hole in his leg, which they've had to pack. So it just takes a little bit like longer for it to get, the recovery time just becomes longer. They have to make sure it's right and if things can come out. So they just need to make sure everything's packed into the hole correctly. I mean, I'm obviously no doctor or surgeon and have no idea if I'm explaining that correctly or not. But I hope
you're not doing my operation tomorrow. I'm having a lump removed from my head tomorrow and I just hope it's not you in there. It's not a big hole that needs filling.
Is that just a cyst you're having removed?
Yeah, it's some cancerous thing that's supposed to be done in March, but because of COVID, they said, wait till we call you back. And they did. So I've been self-isolating for 3 days and been decorating, which is joyous. But no, it's,
Bring the tone down, mate. Why don't you? But no, good. Obviously, best of luck with that tomorrow. I've got a bump on my head as well, but mine's just a cyst. So, yeah. Yet another tangent with Nick on the pod. Who would have ever have guessed?
so how true is this Wilf rumor? Is it 100%? Is it just something you've heard?
Through the grapevine, I've heard he absolutely has a knock and will be missing. So, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. If he's missing, I think him missing this season is a lot better than it would have been him missing last season because we have players to bring in now. We've got Benteke, who hasn't been playing. We've got Batshuayi on the bench. We've got Eze. If Schlupp can be back, then we've got Schlupp as well. You know, we've got plenty more forward-thinking options these days. We would have obviously, I think, liked one more. And I think that one more, if it could be Ismaïl Assar, would be a sign-in. I don't think any of us truly believe it will happen. But Heskiff, I mean, it's Liverpool or Manchester United supposedly wants him. Mm-hmm. But if none of that happens, and if you think about Liverpool, you know, the problem they have with two of their front three going away to the AFCON, and they want, they've, you know, they've signed Jota, they have Shaqiri, players that need to play while they're away. Saar will be going off to the AFCON as well, so if they really, I find it difficult to believe they'd want to sign him. Manchester United, you don't know what they're going to do. You know, they clearly need defenders, yet they sign Edison Cavani. But if those two don't sign him, I think he's free game basically, and we'll have a shot at getting him. But you know, that's going to have to happen pretty quickly. But decent player,
yeah, very decent player. I read that he was, you know, we were interested in getting him last year, and he was interested in us. But by keeping Wilf, you know, we didn't need to get anyone in, so he went Watford. And he did look very good for them, I thought. And I think, yeah, if we were to get him, it'd be a brilliant signing. To be honest, when we were first looked at him, I thought it was just to sort of smoke out bigger clubs, you know, agent talk, that sort of thing. But yeah, the rumour is that that we've got money still left to spend if we want to. I think the Sørloth money coming in is like a nice bonus that we weren't expecting probably as well. But I just wonder how much he'll go for, because I thought prices would go down because of this pandemic, but they clearly haven't. And I do wonder whether Watford will hold out for more than they paid for him, so like 35 million or something, which I would imagine
Would come out. I wonder if they go down the line of charging us a hefty loan fee with an option to buy on some conditions. So, for example, we get an option to buy him if they don't come back up, or, you know, something around that could be done, which would be wise for them in terms of getting him off the wage bill, getting some well-needed cash in for this season. And then, you know, they can still cash in on him next season on the rest of the transfer fee, whether we decide to sign him up or they can sell him to someone else, if he has a good season with us, etc. So I think there's many ways that deal could happen. Nick?
Yeah, I was just looking. Benrahma looks odds on for 30 million to West Ham. So it's crazy money, isn't it?
Yeah, well, he's
crazy money.
If he's going West Ham, he's shit anyway, isn't he? So yeah.
Don't forget we got Neil Dan.
Neil Dan's.
Neil Dan. No, we haven't. Scott Dan. Oh, I always get them mixed up. But he can go up front if needs be, can't he?
Yeah. Oh, everybody Dan's now.
Yes. Oh dear. When they all had their own personal goal music, who let the dog out? Eh?
Who let the dogs out? Yeah. Yeah. Even Clinton Morrison had his as well. Then. Yeah. There you go. I was going to talk about them a bit. I don't think I'm going to really lost three of their last four, but those losses have been against Chelsea and Everton, who we also lost to, obviously, in recent weeks, and Manchester United in that crazy, crazy game at the Amex. Obviously been a lot of goals in these games as well. They're shipping a lot of goals, with the exception being their one victory in their last four against Newcastle, which they won 3-0. Hesketh, it's a lot of this season, pretty much like last season, they flat to deceive a bit, look very, very good on the ball, very comfortable, seem to have a very clear plan, but lack a bit of cutting edge.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't watched them much this year. I watched that Man United game, which was very funny, especially the last 6 minutes. But yeah, I mean, they have a lot of the ball and they pass it around and that's all very nice. But they didn't beat us last year despite doing that. You know, we were saying before we started recording, I think it felt like we didn't touch the ball for the first hour of the game at Selhurst last year, but we still didn't lose it.
That was the game where Neil Mopay shushed the family stand, wasn't it?
Did shush the family stand, yeah. I love him doing stuff like that because it doesn't ever seem to work, which is great. Much like him shushing the empty stand of the Man United fans would be, and then giving away a last minute penalty. Brilliant. Yeah.
You think, when will he learn?
I know. I hope he doesn't. This is entertaining. But yeah, they've played quite well by all accounts, and you know, have been on the wrong side of a couple of results, but they are letting goals in, and hopefully we're scoring a few more this year. I mean, it's tough because the last game was Chelsea and it was just shit. I mean, it was just back to last year, sort of like, hope we don't let a goal in, and then we do, and we sort of don't change anything. Whereas you sort of hope that we can play a bit more like we did at Old Trafford, where we yes, we counter-attacked, but we were a lot more positive about it. Because I think if we're able to do that to Brighton, who are probably going to have a lot more of the possession than us, which is fine, then it will suit us. It will suit us fine. And, you know, if we, even without Wilf, if we have Eze and Andros running at them, or Schlappi running at them, and you've got Michy in the box, you know, that could be good. I always get very nervous with these games, though, because even if they'd lost all their games and had been awful, I'd still sort of think they'd beat us. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, defences don't look very good at the start of this season. I don't know if it's the record amount of goals scored so far, but it must be up there, because there's just loads of goals in every game. So hopefully we'll have more images of Lewis Dunk lying on his back after we've just scored, which is still the desktop of my work computer. more of that, please.
Yeah, I mean, we've already had the record number of goals in a match week this season. 44 goals or something like that, maybe a bit more than that in one set of fixtures. So it's got to be pushing it. Nick, you got any explanations, you think, as to why defense is so leaky?
I really don't know. It's I don't know whether it's because there isn't a crowd there that it becomes a bit like a training match, and maybe players switch off, and it's not pressure from the crowd, but actually sort of help from the crowd. I don't know. It's just a bizarre one, isn't it? Because some of the results have been really strange as well. I mean, Villa putting 7 past Liverpool is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, incredible. If you didn't watch the game, it could have been 10 easily, and Liverpool could have had no complaints.
Really? I was watching it on teletext.
Yeah, Watkins could have had 5 easily. He hit the crossbar. He missed the sitter when he was through one-on-one. Grealish missed a couple of chances. I think there is something around, because the crowds aren't there. There's no one's pushing them. Like, you know, there's not that, like, you know, I've got to do this because I don't want 50,000 people on my back and whatever. It's just weird. It's very, very strange. And I'd love to see someone come out with a big statistical piece talking about why they think it isn't backing it up. But alas, we wish I would see.
A bit more laissez-faire, because they haven't got that pressure. It's almost half-assed, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, there you go. Just can you do it on a cold evening and cold Tuesday night in Stoke or whatever used to become the old analogy? Can you do it in front of an empty stadium is the question.
the annoying thing is I thought this would be the week, well, a couple of months back, this would be the week we'd be allowed back. But obviously things look like they're going to tighten up even more now, don't they? And it takes away the derbiness of the game almost, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, if only we were playing at the Palladium or something like that, we might have been able to watch it. But okay, let's get on to results, predicting a result. I did one more poll, which was looking at what the score's going to be or the result's going to be. So we had, for a Brighton win, just had Gross. Pascal Gross, yeah. For a draw, it was proper shit. And for a win, in lieu of it being the NBA finals this week just gone, and Donald Trump saying there's zero interest, so I'm going to feign interest in it just because. Dunk on him. So 51% of people went for a win. 28% of people for a draw and 21 for a loss, which is optimistic. Nick, what do you think the score is going to be?
9-3.
I mean, in any other years, that would have been laughed out of the room, but you never know. It could be.
What it'll be is we'll absolutely trounce them because there'll be nobody there. It'll be bloody typical. All those nil-nils I've sat through, all those times I've missed work and gone on a sickie and paid 40 quid to sit at the front of the main stand to watch a 0-0 and then tried to hide because it might be on telly and I shouldn't have been there. And, I've always missed the good matches apart from that 5-0 many, many years ago. So because I'm not there, we're going to do really well. So okay. I'll give us a 3-1 as a serious...
I mean, Hesketh, you can take that in with a big, deep breath.
Oh, I mean, I'd absolutely love that. If, especially if one of those three goals was a dunk own goal, that'd be the icing on the cake. I think we're going to lose. I always think we're going to lose. So 2-1 Brighton. Soz.
2-1. Okay, I'm going to go for a 2-2. I think it'd be goals, but an optimistic 2-2 without Wilf. But we shall see. Right, that's pretty much it for this week. Who we got next? Who's our next game against? I did loads of research today, and then
is it Wolves on a Monday, or is that the one after? I'm thinking of the games that you have to pay per view for, which has left me reeling.
Fulham away. Okay, so no, I think that the following week is Wolves on the Friday. Is that really a 9 PM kickoff?
They've got no stand by the river, have they? Can't we just get a boat and hire it and wash it from the river?
Yeah, something like that. There must be some ground you can see in, or unlike Wolves Stadium, where parts of the away end you actually can't see a lot of the pitch because they built a stand over the top of the other stand. But no, of course, that's an 8 o'clock kickoff because the clocks go back and they haven't changed it yet. So we will be back next Thursday in your ears when I'm sure Albert will be back to join us again to preview the Fulham game. In the meantime, do head over to youtube.com/backofthenest to look at the project, big project, the big picture, whatever it's called, project restart, big picture, EFL bailout kind of thing with Hambo, Patrick and DR going through that. And then all to the socials, go and have a look at those at Back of the Nest on Twitter or Back of the Nest CPFC on Instagram. So Nick, thanks for joining.
Do you want me again tomorrow?
Maybe. Good luck with the surgery tomorrow, mate.
Cheers. Yeah.
Yeah. When you get in there and it's me scrubbing up, don't be concerned. And Hesketh, I'll speak to you next week.
I forgot to say one thing, sorry, which is very important. Lewis Dunk is a
well said.
Well said that, man. Until next week, up the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.